It's a football Thursday. I'm Vic Carucci with you on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie Kosar in studio for the remainder of this show. Stay connected to the Cleveland Browns with the latest news, photos, videos, and more. Please visit clevelandbrowns.com, download our mobile app, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter and Instagram. And in studio with us right now is Tom Withers, who does an outstanding job of covering the Browns for the Associated Press. Tom, it's been an interesting week. I guess that's the word I've got. Interesting. Yeah.
You know what, Vic, though? I'm having another one of those feel lucky kind of days. I mean, how many guys get to sit around with Bernie Kosar and you and talk about Browns football? Does it get any better than that?
It is. I'll tell you what was even cooler for me was sitting in here with Doug Deacon and Bernie and just watching the two of them kind of go back and forth as quarterback and offensive lineman. But I'm glad you're part of this.
It's been a tough week. It's been a very interesting week. I mean, it's been a week where we've been reminded that injuries are going to happen. And we always talk about that next man up philosophy and mentality that NFL players have to have. And, you know, losing two guards last week and two running backs, and now the situation with Barkevious Mingo, which is still a little bit mysterious at this point. So, a lot has happened in a very short time with the Browns.
But through it all, and you had a chance to talk with Coach Rob Chudzinski after today's practice, which was moved indoors because of the weather, at least earlier today. I get the sense, though, that if it's bothering him, and I can't imagine a head coach feels great when stuff like this happens, but he does a really good job of keeping those things either in order or suppressed, or his attitude is, hey, we've got to move on to the next thing. You can't dwell.
You're so right about that. And I heard Bernie touch on it before. I mean, Rob is really, you know, for a first-year coach, a guy who's really wise, he's listened, he's learned as he's come up through the ranks, whether it was at the U or wherever. But he understands that this has got to be a ship that's moving forward at all times. There's no time to dwell on injuries or setbacks. It's we deal with the moment, we address it, and we move on. And whether that's injuries or off-field issues or anything else, you know, he really seems to understand that that's the mentality you have to have.
And, Bernie, it's easier to do that, a little bit easier to do that in August than it is September, October, November.
Well, the pressure, I think, for players, there's no doubt, and coaches increases as it goes on. But, you know, again, I keep getting back to the core spirit of who you are, your core DNA. And it's either typically, in most cases, things are either with you in that or it's not. And that's the thing I love so much about football is Tom's right. We were talking about in the other segment, too, just how blessed we are to be part of it. But football kind of weeds out the pretentious stuff. Words sometimes don't matter. And it also kind of weeds out who your core is inside because there's so much pressure. There's so much extreme things that happen that your core personality really tends to show. And if he could do it now in August like this, he'll probably be able to do good with it as it goes on because the pressure to get a head coaching job at his age, he's not going to get these opportunities if he hadn't had that as part of his core love of the game and ability and confidence in the game.
And you talk about real life experience. I mean, he's gotten it already. I mean, he's had a couple fastballs come down the plate already as a young coach, and that's a lot to deal with.
And for Saturday night, Devon Bess going to be a game time decision, the coach was saying, with tendonitis in his knee.
We talked to Devon about it. I guess it's something that's, you know, it's gone on for a while. I guess Desmond Bryant will be out as well. He's got back spasms that I guess have lingered a little longer for him as well. Jabal Sheard dealing with what we think is a bruised knee. He just called it a little nick. And as much as we pressed Jabal on it, the more defensive, pardon the pun, he got about it. So I think he's going to be okay. It doesn't seem to be anything more than a bruise. But, you know, just kind of the general, here we are in August, and guys are dealing with some things here and there.
And we saw him working on the sidelines today, riding a bike. I mean, he certainly physically looks like he can move around. Probably for a lot of these things, for some of these things, some of them, a player could probably play in a game that counted.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, if this was a regular season game on Saturday or Sunday, these guys would be playing, no doubt, which is why I also think that Rob will take a cautious approach again with Trent Richardson, and rightfully so.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we saw last week in the game, you know, with five fairly significant injuries in one exhibition game, you got to be careful. You got to be smart, especially now.
We don't need to see that much. I wrote about this for ClevelandBrowns.com in a column that's posted today. We don't need Bernie to see that much of him anymore. I mean, I think we got it all in last week's game, especially from that hit that he took from Ndamukong Suh.
Well, there's no doubt it was refreshing to see him play like that, but also to take hits like that and bounce up. I concur with you in terms of, look, there's been enough injuries already to date. We were talking this time last week about the depth we have at guard and pack up running back. Now we're weak at both of them because of the injuries. Mm-hmm. So what's one of the things, because the first two games went so good, is that is really, really imperative, and teams will be thinking about this week, is, yes, it's the third preseason game. Yeah, there's some cuts to be made, and you want to see certain things. This is the game that the Miami Dolphins will be looking at in terms of their preparation, mm-hmm. and they when they put their game plan together against the Cleveland Browns on September 8th. So this is a game that I always used. Yeah, I wanted to do good. There were things I wanted to work on. It's imperative to be able, in the coaching kind of mind games, the chess match that goes in, this will be looked at. So you could be doing and practicing things here, keeping in mind that Miami, you may want Miami to see it, so you could spin something off mm-hmm. of it in the Dolphin game, or you may not want Miami to see it so that you could do something in that game. That being said, you may also do some things formation-wise or personnel-wise that you want to do, you may not want to do, but they have to prepare against it a lot for that week. So, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Miami, I think, plays Tampa this week. They're going to be doing the same types of things. So all teams, and Indianapolis Colts, they'll be keeping that in mind for their first game. So there's a lot of that chess match besides the actual execution going on in the game.
Bernie, if I could ask, by now, though, your bread and butter is done, right? I mean, you've got your main installation done. You've seen that in the first two games. So now this is a little bit more, like you said, of either – not showing cards or showing a couple more.
Exactly. Tom and Vic, to Vic's question originally on Trent, have we seen enough? Where I think you're going with it and where I concur is you've probably seen enough of most of the players and most of the stuff. And, yeah, most of your core, if not all your core stuff, is in right now. And because we played so good in the first two games, it's not like there's pressure to, yeah, you always yeah. want to do good, but it's not like, oh, my God, I have yeah. to do good. We haven't done anything the first 2 weeks. We've done so good that the core thing is, yeah, we like to get in there, play well, don't get any more injuries, but it is not that pressing demand to show complete success because we've done it already in preseason, and it's ultimately incredibly more important to win September 8th than it is Saturday night.
Tom Withers from the Associated Press joins us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. Tom, also, and again, we called this kind of a different kind of a week and a week where there have probably been more negatives than positives. Mm-hmm. One negative goes this way. Greg Little and Josh Gordon are playing a position in the NFL where speed is at a premium. But we live in a world where there are speed limits
yeah.
to driving. And both of them have had now pretty well-publicized incidents regarding speeding and really speeding and being having some troubles with the law. That was addressed today by Coach Rob Jedzinski, who basically called it unacceptable, not only for those two guys, but for the entire team, which is the right way for him to handle it. You had a chance also to talk with Greg Little about it.
Yeah, and, you know, this is one of those incidents where, you know, as media members, you know, we had found out about Greg Little's most recent citation, if you will, and then found out about what had happened in April, which was much more serious, driving 127 miles an hour in a 55-mile-an-hour zone, crashed his car, lucky to be alive, unbelievable learning experience, you would hope. You know, Greg today talked about it in terms of, yeah, he understood what he did wrong, knows that he's got to, you know, be accountable and be smarter than that and slow down. And he wasn't defiant, Vic, but he was very matter-of-fact. And I think that surprised some
matter of fact,
people.
Like he didn't get it?
No, he got it. But I think time has allowed him. He's already shown that, you know, this incident happened in April.
Right.
Here we are in August. He's shown his coaches. We've raved about him, Vic. We've talked about how much more mature he looks, how hard he's worked. So I think it was kind of a message that yeah, I get that what I did was really wrong. I'm going to try not to do it again, but I've moved on from it. And I think that's an important message to get across, not only to the fans, but to the guys in the locker room as well.
You know, and I'm not here to lay down moral judgments on people, but just to look at, because we all have our flaws, but just to look at this situation in the greater context of connecting with the fan base, this team's working very hard. Very hard, investing a lot in the whole fan experience thing and trying to get people to, again, buy in and believe in the message. And I think for the most part, they have a lot they can buy into. Stuff like this, however, doesn't make it any easier. No. And I think it's important, again, for people to hear the head coach say, as he said, unacceptable. The organization putting out a statement yesterday, unacceptable.
And I did like the fact that Chud not only addressed it with us, then he didn't actually reveal what he said to the players, which I think is smart.
Well, it's between
too.
Them.
You know, keep it internal. You know, some of the guys in the locker room, DeQuell Jackson, I talked to him about it. He said, hey, you know, Greg has shown us that he's moved on already. Now, you know, he gets this other incident the other night, driving 81 and 60 in a 60-mile-an-hour speed zone. I might have done that yesterday, so I'm not going to sit here and say what he did was really wrong there. But I think it's an important learning lesson for everybody.
Well, I'm trying to bite my tongue here because I got some things that, you know, you want to say that to lighten it. And to somewhat learn from it. But Greg Little has shown on the field that his performance and his effort and his growth as a receiver, because remember, he didn't play his last year, North Carolina. Right. He was a running back most of his growing up. So this is really a very important make or break year for his career. Is he just a guy who's trying to be in the league, or does he come up to that level of a one or two type wide receiver? So His effort and practice and his attitude around here, he has shown incredible growth and maturity, and these type of things off the field I find a little surprising from him. But what I see of him when he's here and when I see of him on the field and how I saw him practice in the voluntary stuff and the stuff him and Brandon did in the off season, I really like the effort and the way he appears ready to be to make that next step.
Tom, last thing, just in terms of watching these last two preseason games, and pretty impressive in all phases the Browns have been, but especially on the offensive side of the ball. So how much are you buying that these two games, and especially this last game against Detroit, is the real snapshot of it all coming together, of this marriage of coaching and Brandon Whedon's development in year two showing up on the field?
I'm buying a lot of it, I'll be honest with you, Vic, and especially talking to the guys privately in the confidence that they've seen in Brandon Whedon since he came back into the building, you know, during the OTAs and even before that. I mean, this kid is really, you know, developing into, you know, we would hope a top flight quarterback, and he's really thriving in this. And we've talked about this seems like endlessly, Vic, since Norv Turner got here. He's really starting to thrive in this offense that's better suited to his strength. So, you know, I was talking to Jordan Cameron today, just, you know, off the record, just kind of chit-chatting. And I said, hey, you know, what do you think of this offense, and are you starting to grasp it? And he says,
I guess it's not off the record.
Well,
now.
It is not off the record, but just kind of in passing. And I don't think Jordan would have any problem with me saying that he is really, you know, he's enjoying this. And it's an easier offense, he said, to run than last year's, in that, you know, it's a little more wide open, a little more freelancing, a little deeper routes, mm-hmm. you know, an enjoyable offense for these guys to run. So I'm buying into a lot of it, Vic, and I think we're just starting to see. And here's the thing, and you and I have talked about this before. To me, it's still about Trent Richardson staying healthy, and given this team that running game, it's only going to make the passing game look better.
Tom, thank you so much.
My pleasure.
And we'll do this again soon.
Sounds great.
He is Tom Withers from the Associated Press, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. It's Vic Carucci and Bernie Kosar with you, and soon we will be joined by phone from the regular co-host of this show. He is Nathan Zagura. He's going to check in with us from Florida, where he's down on a fantasy football assignment. CBS Sports, big time stuff. So we'll hear from Nathan. Always love to have his thoughts on the show as well, and your thoughts as well. 216-578-0850. Dial us up. Much more ahead on ESPN 850 WKNR.